everyone, welcome to season 2, episode 1 of the Louisiana Trail Report. This is Mike Prayer with Get on the Trails Report LLC with my co-host.
This is Brad Caldwell with the Wild Azalea Trail Challenge. Michael, we've kicked off our second season of the number one trail podcast in Louisiana, the Louisiana Trail Report.
Applause. Woo!
I thought we would have been divorced by now.
No, I saw
it coming.
No, you did?
I did. I saw it coming.
I think we're going to do just fine.
You think?
And you know what, Brad? So I went down to the Wild Azalea Trail Challenge, which just happened.
It did.
First weekend in January.
Yes.
And I volunteered down there.
Yes.
And I met some of our fans. Oh. What a rabid, crazy bunch.
We're so proud of them.
Yeah. So I met some of our fans there, and I got a little bit of feedback, Brad.
Ah.
And one of the little nuggets of feedback I got was somebody suggested that maybe sometimes our beer intro, where we talk about the Louisiana beer, is too long.
Really?
And their argument was, you know, they weren't a drinker, or like maybe if you were a person who couldn't drink, maybe you had some history of alcoholism or something, or you just didn't like, you know, beer.
Okay.
It wasn't that interesting to you. So like we're going to try to, you know, the whole purpose of the bringing in the beers was to spotlight Louisiana breweries, Louisiana beers.
Sure.
And then, because a lot of times, you know, I do a run, I like to have a beer after.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, so we're going to, I think what we ought to do is try to, you know, consolidate our beer reports down a little bit. Maybe we drug them out a little bit too long in the past. I can take criticism and critiques. Someone also told me, Brad, that they really enjoyed in the first couple episodes the ding of the doorbell when we were recording in the back of this Run Wild shoe store.
Yes.
People coming and going from the door. And now we record on Sundays and no one's coming and going.
Do we need to go back to live action?
Well, you know what we could do? Just every once in a while, one of us gets up and opens the door.
Well, that could be the truth. I kind of like the idea. Maybe the next one we need to do it like on a Friday afternoon. And we'll go back to a live audience.
Well, it's not a live audience, but there are employees coming and going.
Yeah, we're in the back room.
Yeah.
We can hear it.
We could do that. That's exciting.
Yeah. Okay. So okay. Well, at least they didn't tell us not to do the beer report.
No, they just said maybe we spend too much time on it because it's not of interest to them. And I could take that nugget.
All right.
Brad, before we get into the beer report,
yes.
Your race went great. I had a good time.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the race and how things went from your perspective.
Well, it would be a long, but it was exhausting. It was, but at the same time, it was enjoyable and it was surreal. And sometimes I would just stand at the finish line area talking to people, and I would look around and see other people enjoying themselves, talking to folks, and I guess that's what really I brought away with.
Well, I did the Twin Bridges aid station.
You
I was
did.
There most of the day.
You did.
And I got home around 8 o'clock, and I know you were probably wrapping things up around 8 back at the start-finish line.
Yes.
But I was exhausted. I told my wife, and you know this too from the Screaming Monkey and all these other races, people who don't put them on don't realize how physically demanding they are.
Dude, they are so demanding. And we have folks like Edie, Fawn, Casey, Cesar. They know.
Uh-huh.
And so we're all kindred spirits there. They know. I was going to try to make it back home, but I decided to spend the night in Pineville. For those of you who don't know, I have a business in Pineville. I go down every week. I have a little man cave. Michael, you've stayed at it.
Yeah. And I texted you like, I hope you're not coming home.
I didn't. I went and got some takeout at Spirits Restaurant in Alexandria, and then I realized I didn't have coffee for the next morning, so I had to go to Kroger in Alexandria to get coffee. But anyway, long story short, I crashed.
Yeah.
And woke up the next morning, got things, and then came home. But it was an enjoyable, it's always enjoyable. It's a lot of work. And even though I split it with Spencer Martin, Billy McRae, and Lawson Fall, it's still a lot of work. I don't see how you do it. Well, I used to do it by myself when I had a triathlon, but you're doing it practically on your own with the help of some key volunteers, but it is hard work. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we had it.
Thank you for coming.
Nobody crashed and burned. Nobody got bit by a snake. Nobody got impaled by a limb or something falling on them. Nobody committed suicide. Nobody died. Yeah. So that's a big takeaway from
it. It's a good day.
And I got to tell you, I so enjoyed the meal that you and I had the night before. We went to BJ's Pizza House mm-hmm. in Alexandria. We got
you got
to go uh-huh. large half half veggie, half full house. And then we went to my favorite brewery,
Huckleberry,
and we had a beer or two, and we ate pizza. That was fun.
Okay, it was good. I enjoyed it. Thank you for the pizza.
That was fun. But we had a good time.
So tell us about the results of the race, Brad, real quick.
Well, we had people finish, thankfully. Yeah. We had some people finish. I'm going to give a shout out to our gal, Jasmine, who works for us in Shreveport. Mm-hmm. Jasmine won the 10K.
Awesome.
She didn't win the women's 10K. She won the 10K in 48 minutes. Not Jasmine's surprised. A former collegiate runner at Texas Tech, but that girl flew. Matthew Brewer came in first place in the 50-mile run. He smoked it at 8:25. He did a great, great job. Logan Trim out of Lake Charles won the 27-mile run. To get a little shout-out, third place went to Scott Quigley of Shreveport. Scott's a cool young man. He does a lot of your races.
Nice guy. Nice kid.
Nice young man.
I say a kid. He's probably 28.
I know, but he's a really, really good kid. And Kate Folks finished first in the half marathon. I know Kate's father, Sherman. He was my trainer many, many years ago. Shout out to Kate and his dad. So we had a really good time. We had some mountain bikers. I didn't get to that, but some sport guys came down from Shreveport, won the mountain bike divisions for us, and so.
As always, I mean, top flight production on it, and the étouffée at the end was delicious.
It was really good. A shout out to Zion Baptist Church of Alexandria, who let us use their massive rig, their bus, to take everybody. Because Michael, you know, you can't say you did the Wild Azalea Trail unless you do the whole trail.
Yep,
that's it. And so we did it. So
that was a nice bus. And the tamales were this year. Oh. Not Walmart tamales.
No,
I had some left over from my aid station. I took them good to work. Yeah. For lunch, yes. For the 2 days after, and I enjoyed them. They were delicious.
Miss Irma hooked me up big time with 10 dozen tamale calientes. Mm-hmm. Some were pork, some were veggie. Oh, my God.
Were they veggie? Because I told somebody they were vegetarian, and she bit into it, and she's like, nah, it's chicken.
Okay, some were pork, and some were chicken. And but they were good. They were really good.
Next year, maybe get the veggie.
I know.
Do they do a veggie?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Irma does. And according to Lawson Fall, they do a mean veggie.
Okay.
So I need to request a veggie. But the tamales were great. We had, let's see, who was my winner? We had no winner in the men's 27-mile run.
No, nobody wanted to eat more than two.
Bridget out of Provençal won the female. She ate two, and then we had two winners in the 50 mile. We did have a male-female winner of the 50 mile.
Mr. Kim won, didn't
always.
He?
I saw him personally barf down about 10.
Okay.
He almost got to Kirkley's record of 12, and I think he'd have gotten there if he wasn't cut for time.
Yeah.
Because it was almost, you know, when you watch Joey Chestnut
yes.
every July 4th?
Yes.
That's what it's like watching Mr. Kim. He's got the water and the tamale, mm-hmm. and he's pushing the tamale down, and he's following up with a slug of water.
Gotta love Mr.
And then
Kim.
It's tamale juice is going all down his chin, Michael, down his shirt, down his legs.
And that's a vivid
his
image.
Socks.
You're painting.
And he just one after another, he's rocking and rolling it. So anyway.
All right, well, great race. So, Brad, let's talk about some races coming up. We've got February 3rd. We've got the Q50 Extravaganza. Yes. I'm signed up for the 39-miler.
So I want to go down. I don't know if I can, but I can't do 35 miles.
Well, I don't know if I can either, because I rolled my ankle December 20th, and I've been on the struggle bus since then. I did 12 yesterday.
That was good.
So I'm trying to work toward it. I might talk to Cesar and go down to the marathon.
Right.
Or maybe even the half marathon. But okay. I'm going to that race.
All right.
I want to go.
Yes.
Then that's February 3rd. February 17th, I talked to Fawn.
We got red dirt.
I'm going down. That's red dirt.
February 17th.
I'm not racing. I'm going to work an aid station and help out. There is a local 10-miler here that I want to market at, because I have my race coming up in Ruston, the old school at Lincoln Parish Park, in April.
Yes.
So I wanted to market to the people doing that race here in Shreveport, the 10-miler. Yes. And then I'm going to run that, market to the good folks, and then I'm going to go down and help Fawn out at the Red Dirt.
Sounds good.
And she seemed excited that I was coming to pitch in, and she's going to work me like a dog.
Good.
And you know what? That's what I like.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what she, absolutely.
And then so after that, we've got the old school at Lincoln Parish Park, April 6th, 5 mile, 10 mile, 20 mile.
Great race, yep. Michael. I love that race.
And the old school's coming up. And so in preparation, like the first week of January, I always go up to Ruston and I start reconnecting with my sponsors.
Right.
And trying to get them back on board for next year. Because, you know, a lot of the money from the race goes to a charity. And so it helps to have sponsors to help defray some of the costs of giving that money to the charity. So I went into a place in Ruston called Utility Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
And I got this beer, and it says, I'm a reading straight from the can, good people, and I'm going to try to make it fast for the don't love our long beer reports.
This is our beer report.
Utility Brewing Company is a small batch brewery and wood-fired pizzeria located in historic downtown Ruston, Louisiana. We opened our community brew pub to share things we love: good, simple food and craft beer. We hope that you enjoy the contents of this crowler in the company of friends. So I got a crowler. I got a friend.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and open it up. Here we go. And we are drinking, Brad, today from Utility Brewing in Ruston.
All right.
Stout's Honor.
Yes.
5.4 ABV.
Open that bad boy up.
And sorry, Utility Brewing. I got this on January 3rd, and it's now the 19th.
Okay. We got it.
No, it's the 21st.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's a little bit maybe overdue, but we'll see. We'll see what it sounds like.
Michael,
see
I'm
if
excited.
We get ahead on this thing.
I'm excited. Ruston is the birthplace and hometown of my mother, and it's where
where your alma mater.
My grandfather owned a grocery store in Ruston. I love Ruston, and I went to school there. I love Ruston.
You're not really a guy who loves stouts, but
I
texted you while I was buying it, and asking you what you wanted, and then I went and got the complete opposite.
You did. I'll try anything once. Mm-hmm. How's that? But this might prepare me for my golf trip to Ireland coming up, because
there's stouts in Ireland. You better get ready for some stouts.
I gotta get ready
fella.
For some Guinness in Ireland. So this is going to be.
All right. So you go ahead and drink.
So
and
do
I'll
we do the piss review? This is definitely.
No,
this is post-mortem.
That's one thing we're probably going to have to get rid of in this new year.
Why?
Comparing our beer to urine.
It's post-mortem.
Oh my! It's basically black.
It's post mortem.
Yeah. It's stout. I mean, if you like stouts, you'll like it. I'm not getting a heavy. Maybe I'm getting a little coffee.
I'm getting coffee.
I'm getting a coffee notes for sure. And I'm not getting chocolatey notes, and thank God I'm not getting any bourbon barrel notes, because I don't like bourbon barrel aged stuff.
Michael, I'm growing hair where hair should not grow right now.
Oh, well, that's good. That's a sign of a good stout right there. If you start sprouting hair. And
maybe if it could grow on my head.
If
maybe
it would
this
grow on our head, wouldn't that not be great?
I
always tell my wife, if I could grow hair on my head like I can grow it in my ears and nose, I'd have an afro.
Oh, yeah. You'd look like, what's the guy from Starsky and Hutch? I mean, one of those dudes, yeah.
Man, that's good. I like it. It's a really solid beer. So if you go to Ruston, go to Utility Brewing. I haven't eaten there, but I have seen they do a great lunch rush. And the locals really seem to like to go there for pizza. And okay. It looks like it's a wood fire grill from what I can see from the bar.
All right.
The pizza looks delicious. I haven't tasted it yet. I haven't been hungry when
okay.
I'm there.
All right. Well, okay. So go ahead. Score it.
I mean, I'm not the biggest of stout drinkers, but I'm going to give this a solid 3.721.
That's a good score for stout.
Yeah.
I think it is.
And to be fair to them, this is a 20-day-old beer.
Right. No, that's
true. We were supposed to drink this like a week and a half ago, and we weren't able to get together for a podcast. We were busy.
Well, we were snowed under, actually. Yeah. Snowed indered.
And snowed indered?
And undered.
And undered.
And undered. Again, I've got hair growing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Michael, I'm going to give it a 3.68.
Okay, that's close to mine.
It's not a bad beer. It probably, because you made me score it higher because of what you just said. This has been in the can for about 20 days. So that's why I'm it. And plus, it's Rustin. I love Rustin. So we got to.
I just burped. I hope it didn't get picked up by the mic.
No, but it blew on me, dude. Golly, do you mind? Okay, Michael, do we now just say, hey, folks, we're just going to say, hey.
So you know what, Brad? That was a great beer report and a review of what's coming up in Louisiana in the next little bit. We're going straight into the interview with Nick Cronin and Chris Angie from the Lake Charles area.
Lafitte Racing.
Have a new proposition coming up, a new race.
That's right.
That you should know about.
Okay.
And here comes the interview.
Let's hear him out.
All right. Go.
All right. So welcome to the podcast. We have today Nick Cronin and Chris Ange. Should I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, Angie. It's close.
Angie.
That's what I get.
All right. Hey, Chris. You know, normally what we do for the Louisiana Trail Report is we do an exhaustive amount of research everyone who's a guest. Mm-hmm. And we did that. I mean, we know everything about
everything.
You guys. We know who you took to prom.
Yep.
We know your what your blood type is. We know all these things. But we're going to approach it as if we know nothing. It's an exercise in podcasting.
But just an idea.
We know nothing.
Hey, Nick, you're going to get a letter from the IRS, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got some back taxes. Just let you know that. So
I knew that part, but I don't know my blood type. So if y'all could see, please email me that later. Yeah. That would appreciate that.
Yeah. And Chris, you have some unclaimed property money coming to you from unclaimed property from an uncle you didn't know about. So that's good news. That's good news.
That's great.
So guys.
You're welcome.
We are glad to have you on the Louisiana Trail Report. Go ahead and start by just, take turns, but tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into running ultras and doing trail running. Go.
Oh.
First, Nick.
Okay, I'll go first. So I got into running because I did not know how long a marathon was. I had a friend of mine doing the Biggest Loser Challenge. It was popular on TV back in the day where they lose a bunch of weight and then they would run a marathon at the end of the show. And a friend of mine he went down from like 300 pounds to 200 pounds and he wanted to celebrate by running a marathon. He's like, Nick, you got to run with me. And at the time I was running like 2-3 miles for exercise. So I was like, yeah, I can do that because that's what, like 6 miles, a marathon, 6-7 on the TV. It took like 45 minutes on the show. So no problem.
Yeah.
And then I started looking up the race route after I agreed to do it and finding out that the marathon was 26 miles. I went from running 3 miles to 26 miles in the span of like, luckily I had 6 months to train, but this wasn't the kind of guy you say no to, I can't do it. You didn't get to back out. So I ran the race, absolutely loved it. And then a friend of mine is just like, you know, it would be fun. Also, there's this race in Ville Platte that goes around the lake. And you could do 20 miles out there training for the next marathon. I'm like, cool. And that's whenever I fell in love with trail running because I did it was called the Cajun Coyote. Now it's the Rougarou.
Yep.
But it was the Cajun Coyote back in the day. And running that race, you hit every aid station, you got hugs, they gave you food, which is my favorite thing, and at the end they gave me so much beer I couldn't drive home. I really enjoyed doing that race and I wanted more and more, and so I just kind of grew from there.
Did you get the foot massage?
Doing, you do the thing where you go from
Oh, you
marathons
do
to
that one, yeah.
50Ks to 50 miles, 100K, 100 mile.
No, I got you.
So that's how I kind of got into it.
So they didn't do so. Well, that's right. So
It's
what?
red dirt.
Oh, it's Red Dirt does?
Red dirt does the foot massages. Yeah.
Yeah, Red Dirt has a 50K.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah. So how about you, Chris? How do you get into it?
So I always, my dad was a runner growing up, and he did, a lot of local 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. And so I grew up in about eighth grade. One day I woke up and said, "Dad, I want to start running with you." So all through high school and college, I kind of ran, that local stuff. I wasn't on trails. I wasn't running marathons. I think the farthest I maybe ran was 6 or 7 miles. But then a couple of years ago, the last year of the Danimal, this was 2019, that one of my friends called me up and said, "Hey, I'm running the Danimal 50K. It's, 30 miles, but the last 15 miles you can have a pacer for. I know you run, Chris. Will you come pace me?" And I looked at him like he was crazy because, I'd only run 6 or 7 miles up to this point. I'd never run a half marathon in my life. But I went out there with him. I started training longer distances, and then I fell in love with the trails. So since about 2019, I've kind of had a, I've never stopped running, but I've had a resurgence, and I found the trails. And from then, I ran a half marathon. I ran the Lugeru. I've run the 100K. My first ultra was actually the Screaming Monkey 50K. So I came up there and ran your race, Michael. And then since then, yeah, it's been nothing but ultras and marathons and long distance. So.
I saw that you recently ran the Houston Marathon, and
Yeah,
I
I
believe
did.
BQ'd. Is that correct?
That's right. So actually, it's kind of funny because I ran all these ultras, the past 3, 4 years I've been running ultras. And then this was my first official marathon, was the Houston Marathon last week.
Right.
So, but I was determined to get a BQ. I knew it'd be close, and I ended up running way faster than I thought I was. I was 13 minutes under my age group Boston qualifying time. So,
You
pretty
safely held
comfortable
back.
margin there.
Sweet. That's pretty impressive,
Good
Chris.
job. So Nick, you've been running ultras in Louisiana for a while, man. You have a pretty impressive resume on ultra sign up, like about almost 40 races going back about 10
Wow.
years. Except for, the blaring omission is the Screaming Monkey, but that's okay. I won't hold it against you. But yeah, so you've been running ultras in Louisiana for a while now, and you're a physical therapist. So is
Correct.
that something you'd recommend to your patients to, I mean, it's a good way to get patients, recommend them to start running ultras.
What's funny is I've a physical therapist. My specialty is actually neurology and vestibular abnormalities, inner ear problems. So actually, none of my patients have ever been athletes. Like, if they're athletes, they were athletes like 30, 40 years ago, and then had a stroke. So I've only actually treated runners like as friends. So I've
Okay.
never professionally treated anybody.
Right.
I like to, if I give out medical advice, I usually go, "Hey guys, just remember, not under my license. Please
Right.
don't sue me."
Yeah.
I don't recommend it to any of my patients, but on the other hand, I'm probably the one in the office, the person's just like, "Hey, I'm running a 5K." Like, "Cool. Have you
Yeah.
ever tried a 10K?" Like, I'm
Exactly.
constantly
Yeah.
like, "I think I can run a half marathon." Yeah, but I bet you could run the full.
That's cool.
I like the idea of people just pushing it farther and farther down the road, but I'm always giving free medical advice to a bunch of my friends who are runners, just like, "Hey, like we have one right now who has an IT band issue that I'm trying to talk her way through." Just kind of giving away, like lately, actually, I've been giving away advice through the YouTube channel, because anytime somebody asks me a question like that, they text me like, how do I fix my IT band? Like, that's a long story. Let's do that on YouTube.
Yeah, really.
Just so I don't have to text 3 pages worth of stuff.
That's pretty cool. So, Chris, what do you do for a living?
I'm a chemical engineer. I work locally in Lake Charles at one of the chemical companies.
Sweet.
So it's interesting. We make soaps and detergents. So whenever you buy, you know, Tide or Gain, you're helping support me.
You know, one of our good buddies down in Central Louisiana, Egbert Jacobs, is from Germany. He is a chemical engineer for Procter & Gamble. And
our big customer.
Yeah, Egbert just moved to Malaysia, actually. For a few years. Yeah, so they moved those P&G guys around a lot. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, you chemical engineers, man, that's pretty cool. I like that. So tell us about Lafitte, right? So, what is it, and what do you guys want to do with it? What are you doing with it, et cetera, et cetera?
So, I'll start and I'll let Nick chime in too. But okay. Lafitte is kind of it was a very organic company that started whenever, if you know the history of the Danimal, that Dan Smith started a 50K at Sam Houston Jones State Park here in the Lake Charles area. And in 2020, he decided that he kind of didn't want to direct the race anymore. So he sold it to Edie, who y'all know Edie from Fort. He sold it to her for, I think, a po' boy.
A po' boy. That's cool.
How the story
that
goes.
That sounds actually perfect.
That's probably true.
That sounds exactly
she
like
got,
Edie.
She got more for her race than I did when I gave Indian Creek away, my triathlon away. So anyway, go ahead.
You should have got some Edie, food out of it, dude.
I should have. I didn't.
Of course, in 2020, that year was when Hurricane Laura came through and ripped up most of Southwest Louisiana. So. Yeah. The park was closed for a long time. Edie couldn't host the race even if she wanted to.
Yeah, the trails were like gone. The trees were gone.
Jeez.
So we ended up, a few of us that are now this board of Lafitte reached out to Edie, and she graciously relinquished her race to us. So
nice.
She allowed us to keep the No Man's Land name. And so now it should be a very similar course to when Dan had the Danimal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that, I mean, the trails have changed because of the hurricane, but that's our main goal, is to bring back trail running and ultra running to Southwest Louisiana.
I used to go down there all the time in my triathlon days and do the, what was it called, y'all? What was the triathlon?
The Gator Man.
Yes, the Gator Man. That's
yeah.
And my good buddy Houston Jones was head of the Lake Charles area triathletes for a number of years, and so I'd go down to Gator Man. Yeah, what a great guy.
That was my sister-in-law. She's an iron like a 7-time Ironman, and that was her first triathlon, was the Gator Man.
Isn't that cool? It was so cool.
It was a very cool race.
Oh, I mean, it's very, in the whole triathlon world, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I really did. It was good. So I know a little bit about Sam, about the park there, but, but continue on, Nick. I know you wanted to chime in about it all.
Well, one thing that we were happy about is Edie let us keep the No Man's Land name for the race, which was really, really cool, especially for our weird little area of Louisiana, because some people know the history, something else. It's actually on the website. Chris wrote it up beautifully, where back in the day, like Louisiana Purchase / Texas, the Republic of Texas days, United States wasn't sure who owned this section of Louisiana. So they gave up and just made it this weird little analogous, that's a word, it's a word now, this weird little gray area legally. In fact, I had a family member back in those days who owned a warehouse in New Orleans, burned the warehouse down for the insurance money, and then fled to this area so he could escape the authorities.
Cool. I like that. So,
You got to incorporate that into the theme or something. A burning warehouse on the t-shirt.
That might be how somebody's race goes.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Goes up. We've all had those races as well. Yeah. So I have a cat now. But anyway, yeah. So we were glad we were able to keep that because that's a unique part of this section of Louisiana. For a good while, the only people who lived in this area were like pirates and thieves and people who burned down stuff for insurance money. A lot of unincorporated farmers, you know, people who just kind of didn't really own the land, but just didn't buy it, didn't own it, just farmed it for the hell of it. Right. We like that kind of pirate thing. That's why we named the group Lafitte Running, Jean Lafitte the Pirate, is big in this area. He did a lot of clandestine things running because this is our area is nothing but a bunch of marshes that meet the Gulf of Mexico. So you could easily run a small boat, all the way from the Gulf of Mexico, halfway up the state. So they would run run a bunch of contraband through the area. Mm-hmm. So we have the pirate theme, we have the outlaw kind of theme of this whole area, and that's our weird little roots.
Yeah.
So I'm happy we were able to kind of keep that.
So here's another idea. So you get actual pirates, man. Hire some Somalian pirates and put them out. I know. It's weird. I know. I'm weird. But put them out on the course and have them attack people and threaten to attack people. And
I don't know how many Somali pirates we can ship in.
Yeah.
But this area has what used to be called Contraband Days. And I think it's called the Pirate Festival now.
You know, I timed
it. It would not be hard to get probably 20 guys to dress up because they have the outfits.
There you go.
I 100% guarantee they have like a full pirate outfit. Yeah. We pay them in beer. We could get them out on the course. 100%.
I've been struggling with my contraband lately.
I will not charge you for this. No, I'm not. I'm an old old race director. I'm just imparting this. There you go.
So I think I heard you mention a website. Do y'all have a website where we can go for more information about the race?
So right now we just have the Ultra Sign Up. We don't have a designated website.
It is live on Ultra Sign Up.
So you can go view it right now. Registration doesn't open until February. Okay. But February 1st, registration will open. But if you go click on it, you can view the whole race. We have all the information on there. Mm-hmm. The little history blurb and everything is on Ultra Sign Up.
Okay, cool.
So I missed it. Give me the distances again.
So it's going to be a 50K mm-hmm. and a 25K and then a 12.5-ish.
Right.
Kilometer race. So the park itself is about one loop around the perimeter, if you follow kind of those perimeter trails, is about 8 miles. So that's the plan is, you know, we'll have to finagle it to get it to the right distance, but the course should be a 8-ish mile loop. So one loop is one race. Have you not been able to
cover a lot of the interior trails yet, Chris?
There are some interior trails, like even what used to be called the Red Trail. They used to be just labeled with colors. Uh-huh. They didn't have real trail names. But now I think they have like a Riverwalk Trail, a Stagecoach Trail. They're renaming them as we go. But like the Red Trail is an interior trail that they just recently paved. So now it's not even a real trail anymore. I mean, it's paved.
It's nice.
Yeah. But some of the other interior trails they're working on, I have to give a big shout out to Lambo. The organization is Lake Area Mountain Bikes, mm-hmm. and they have done a lot of work revitalizing our trails.
Yeah, they've done a beautiful job with, especially like the bridges and digging out the trails and stuff. Like I said, the trails after Hurricane Laura were gone.
Right.
And those guys, as well as like, there's probably six or seven organizations, including like the Friends of Sam Houston Jones Park, who are working to rebuild a lot of stuff in that park, but the trails especially, they've all done a beautiful job of tearing up and finding the trails again. One group actually took drones and flew around the park looking for, you know, signs, like literal like wooden signs that used to be part of the thing, and finding the trails again and digging them out and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I would say, Nick, you can chime in too, but I would say that we probably have about 10 or 12 total miles of trail in the park. Do you think that's a good estimate?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, that's about right. It's and all really, some of it feels like you're running through a field where it used to be forest, but most of it is, you know, forest again, and they're doing a great job planting trees and stuff like that. So it's real pretty. It's real rooty of a trail. I remember running what's that Houston 100 mile race?
Brazos Bend?
One just north of Houston.
Rocky Raccoon.
Rocky Raccoon. And I remember signing up for that race and everybody's like, oh, be careful, that one has so many roots, you're gonna trip, it's a tough one, it'll beat you up. And I remember training for it in Sam Houston, running over the roots in Sam Houston, and then whenever I got to Rocky Raccoon, it was like a paved boulevard. It was like all like those like two roots the whole way, like, oh, y'all ain't got nothing to swamp. Yeah. To swamp run.
exactly. I mean, yeah, I don't know, if to me Lincoln Parish Park has got the roots of all roots, but that's just me. But that, so anyway, yeah, that's cool.
So guys, what is Chris, we'll start with you, what is your favorite Louisiana trail moment from the last, you know, little bit where you've been running trails at different, you know, races or different trails? Which can you think back to a time where you're like, man, you just felt really zen, or you were just really, you know, appreciating the trail for everything it was?
Or have you come, like I have, me and my buddy Billy McRae have come across deer hunters on the trail with their rifles. I mean, stupid things like that.
I'm looking more for a trail epiphany.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, I think I've experienced a lot of.
Don't come into my question and try to say what it is.
All right, go ahead.
All right, go ahead, man.
No, I've experienced a lot of those, you know, spiders and snakes and wild boar and stuff on trails in Louisiana. So I'm no stranger to that for sure. But actually, this past weekend, yesterday, we were running out at Sam Houston, and just coming off of the marathon, you know, I'm still sore and tired, so I was taking it easy and walking a lot. And, you know, I normally am at least jogging. I try to not walk too much, but I kind of turned around at one point and looked down the trail and just like, man, this is beautiful out here, and I don't normally take in these scenes as much as I should. And so it was kind of nice that even I'm not injured, but I'm still sore for sure. And just that soreness and me taking it slow was nice. I didn't realize, you know, how much I have to be grateful for, even at our little local trails at Sam Houston.
And that's what's good about trails versus a lot of times on the road. You just don't get those moments where you really stop and, you know, appreciate the moment and the serenity and the scenery and the beauty. How about you, Nick?
I just want to throw this out here real quick of how slow Chris was running yesterday.
I know.
It was probably like a group of like eight guys, and Chris and this one other guy took off.
Yeah.
And we never saw them again.
Probably about 6:45 pace.
His slow is probably like an 8 minute mile. So
no,
just to throw that out there.
Tyler dropped me. Tyler dropped me and I started walking, Nick.
Oh my God. Yeah. I can tell. Yeah. No, I don't buy it one bit. Don't buy it one bit. So
just to throw like, that's probably on a more serious note, actually this 100% of the same thing happened. That's why I really like Sam Houston Jones Park. I've worked out a lot of like psychological stuff out on the trail. Like when you're in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, nobody's around, and you work through like problems and issues that, you know, just life stuff out in the woods. Like it's probably the best thing I've ever, best place I've ever done that kind of stuff, where it's just like everything from like I'm so happy and thankful for this moment in my life to I'm mad at somebody and I'm just pissed and I'm gonna run real hard and beat the crap out of my legs to make myself feel better. Or something bad has happened in my life and somebody died and now I'm hugging a tree crying, working my way through that part. Like those trails, I've done more emotional stuff on those trails than any other thing. And they're just all in my head. The woods are beautiful for that.
Yeah, I, you know, there are points, and my favorite poem is by Robert Frost. I know it's stupid, I get, but you know, he's out. Robert Frost is out going in the country. He's been in the city all day, and he's going out in the country to his house, and he comes across a field that's just been laden with the fresh snow. And there was something about in the poem that link that captivates him to where he gets off his buggy and walks out in the snow, and he lingers, you know. And then his fame, this is a very famous poem, and the voice tells him, "Oh, but you have promises to keep and miles to go before you sleep and miles to go." There are times when I'm on the trail, and I'll use Wat Azalea, for instance, a couple of spots where you can see out on Kincaid Lake, that I just stop because I'm running slow. And my slow is not crisp, by the way. No, nowhere
Not
near.
Chris, no,
No.
I can attest to that.
No, my four-wheeler's not in. But yeah, you just linger. Right? You just want to linger and stay in that moment, right?
Yes.
But yeah.
There's the movie Forrest Gump. Every runner knows those moments where he was talking about like that thing where you're running and then you just hit that moment where you're just blown away by what you saw. Like one time I was it's the Kincaid Loop out at in Kisatchee where I was doing that and I scared the crap out of a bunch of pelicans and then those pelicans took off and flew away and it was just so pretty. It just blows you away. You have to take a moment and just watch it.
That's my favorite trail, the 9 mile loop. We call it the campground loop. But yeah,
Yeah, that's
that's a
such a
great
pretty trail.
9 mile loop. It's just great. So, but no, that was a good question, Michael.
Thank
You've got me kind of emotional about it all, right? So as we lead into this, guys, what do you, I'm going to ask a question. Are you looking at other events putting on down the road besides this one? Is there something else that's maybe struck your fancy or what?
I think we all have all four of us in this little group have ideas, but I think we're all just like, okay, first, let's do this race.
Right, sure.
Let's get this race moving and see how we do, and then we'll go from there.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it. Well, let me tell you something. As I know, I'm 60, I'll be 63, and I've been around it a long time, and it gives me a lot of hope for young guys like you. And I've even told Tanya this at Wat Azalea, for folks that are picking up the mantle, you know. And are introducing more and more people to the trails that we have in Louisiana. And so I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys got together and y'all are doing this. And I know because, you know, Edie is stepping back. You know, I know I don't have much longer. And so and I'm gonna throw Michael in with y'all's group. It's nice to see younger guys and gals picking it up and taking it to places we never even thought about it. So I appreciate that. So while we're talking about the Sam Houston State Park and the trail, y'all give us some. We have a segment we talk about trail profiles, and so this is a great thing for you to get in more specifics about the trail system out there. Is there anything you want to share with us about the trail that people that are in Shreveport or Monroe? We called it Fun Row in college, by the way. But you know, Alexandria, whatever, that can tell us more about the trail system out of state.
Insider tips.
Insider tips, yes.
Well, for one thing, there's a just to throw it out there, there's a giant washout on one of the trails. It's weirdly like a half a story, and you just go down real fast. That one's fun to. It's right at the beginning of the what we call the Blue Trail, not the Stagecoach Trail. Yeah, Blue Trail. It's one of those things that's just so much fun to run as fast as you can downhill because it's such a steep decline.
Right.
That part's really nice. So that's fun. But again, this is a trail where the roots are not bad, but you do have to watch out for them. Yeah. Just to throw it out there. I've gotten really good at tripping and falling and catching myself just because you will trip. But yeah. That being said, probably it's one of those trails where like 80% of the time you're just running on nicely manicured trail. Mm-hmm. So it's technical, but not insane.
But I'm imagining some sandiness because of where it is. Is it sandy or am I just not realizing?
No, there's really no sand. Okay. I will say there's, plenty of mud. There's a couple different sections, I guess, of the trail, if you want to think of it like this, where the orange trail and the yellow trail are follow Calcasieu River. Mm-hmm. So they're a little bit flatter, smoother, buffed out, and you get really good views of Calcasieu River. Almost every turn, you kind of can see the river.
That's the spot you want your camera. If you were there's a runner named Robin Cobb who takes like thousands of pictures when she runs.
Wow.
If you're that type of runner, you want to have your camera on that spot. That's when you're going to see the critters on the water. It's where you're going to see this, like in the mornings, it's so pretty before the sun comes up. Our area gets a lot of fog. So you get this nice misty kind of thing coming off of the water. Yeah. It's either really, really creepy or it's really, really pretty. Like horror movie or picturesque. It's one or the other, depending on how many spiders there are that day. Yeah. But it is so pretty of an area right there.
Mm. Yeah. I'm thinking about it the way I run it. But then you get to the kind of Blue Trail, and that area starts pulling away from the river, and you're getting deeper into the park itself. And there you see more of the magnolias and the cypresses, those kind of Louisiana, the oak trees, you know, the trees and the areas that you associate with. Oh, I'm in Louisiana, you know.
Right.
That's also the area where that deer population is, too.
Yeah. There are actually a lot of, they're wild, but they're tame deer, you know.
Okay.
They let you get pretty close and. Mm-hmm. I'd say 75% of my runs out there, I see a couple of deer.
Wow. So you don't see hogs or anything, do you?
I've never seen any out there.
Yeah.
I have seen a bobcat out there, though.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Wow.
And there's the last kind of area. So you have the river area, the kind of Louisiana-style tree area. And then the last area is the longleaf pine extension. They did that kind of before the hurricane. And so this is more of a piney wood area that that species of tree, I believe, is endangered. And so they are trying to restore that area tree. Of course, a lot of them got knocked down in the hurricane. Right. That's the portion that Nick was saying earlier, kind of feels like you're running through a field and less through a forest.
That's sweet. Go ahead.
The whole area feel has the roots, though, for sure. No matter which section you're in, you've got the roots.
I love it.
Is there an entry fee to get into the park?
$3.
Yeah, it's the same as like if you're at Chico or somewhere. Yeah. It's a $3 state. It's a state park, so it's the standard state park entry. You can get the annual pass and, you know, get in all year.
Well, hey, thanks for the good.
I usually get there before the sun comes up. So it's kind of funny. They don't open the park, but they don't open the entry fee, where you pay the entry fee, the little office. Mm-hmm. They don't open it until later. So I always felt guilty getting there at 6 a.m. and you're like, hey, I don't have to pay the fee. Like, I feel like it. So I got the annual pass. So But that being said, I do a lot of stuff with Boy Scouts with my son, and that little annual pass has paid for itself so much. I've been to so many parks. It's nice.
Yeah, I used to, at Indian Creek, yeah, we would park before you get to the ranger station, you know, but there was a little parking pad and we would go. But yeah, that's cool. What else, Michael, for these guys?
And I think that was a good trail profile of the Sam Houston State Park.
Yeah, I'm
impressed with that. So, guys, you got Lafitte, and you've got the race coming up. I don't believe you mentioned what the date of the race is. What's the actual date it's going to happen on?
The date is October 19th. So, this year, 2024. Okay. Huh? So, historically, Dan Smith always had the Danimal the third weekend of October.
Yeah.
And we thought that was, you know, we're going to kind of keep that. It's a good. You know, by later October, Louisiana's getting a little cooler. It's not necessarily cold yet, but hopefully we got a cool front or two.
What I've always liked about this race, as well as the Danimal and just running in Louisiana in general. October is where you start thinking, oh, okay, it's getting cooler, it's getting nicer. Mm-hmm. And it's true. When you start the morning, it's really not that bad. It's really kind of cool. And then the day starts really heating up, and so that's what I think the tricky part of this race is we don't have hills, we don't have mountains to climb or anything like that. We have the humidity you have to take an account for. I've the very first Danimal I won, not because I'm fast at all, but because I was the only one who knew it was going to get hot. So everybody else was like dropping like flies, and I was ice water and stuff like that and was prepared to go at it. That's the deceptive thing about the race, which I like a little bit of challenge in any race, is it's going to be warmer than you think it is. But on the other hand, it's not August, so it's not going to, you know, be unpleasant. It's going to be the nice kind of challenge as opposed to the horrible kind of challenge.
You know, I think it's perfect. It's perfect. You know, you're keeping the tradition from when it was held, and you know, it is what it is, but with weather wise, because it, like you said, it's Louisiana. Who knows, right? But yeah, but that's true. So,
and yeah, that's kind of my theory, is I've known a bunch of Louisiana runners, and I've known some Arkansas runners and Colorado runners and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think Louisiana, the people who train through Louisiana summer to get ready for races, either in the fall or out of state races, I think Louisiana on its own makes some crazy tough runners, because if you can do a 24-mile long run in the dead of August in Louisiana, you can go somewhere else and just beat the heck out of that race. I've done so many races where it's just like everybody's dropping like flies because it's so hot at 76 degrees, and it's just like, ha, this is nothing. I'm so comfortable right now. I'm happy. I think Louisiana makes tough runners. I really do.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I was in Phoenix. I was going up to the canyon, and I flew into Phoenix. I was waiting on a guy to land from New Orleans, a friend of mine, and I had about 8 hours to kill. So there's a mountain in Phoenix called Camelback, and it's 100 degrees or 105 in Phoenix. And they had a film news crew out there interviewing people that were going to hike it. And we're like, you know, what do you, you know, don't you know? And I looked at the guy, he interviewed me. I said, dude, I'm from Louisiana. This is not... This is easy, man.
Cold snap.
Yeah, this is you don't have the humidity that we have. So, yeah, Louisiana makes some really tough nut runners. It really does. It really does. So
I'm looking at y'all's Ultra sign up page, and there's a couple other races that are called No Man's Land. So you have to, people looking for the race have to be very specific. It's a No Man's Land trail run.
Yes.
I'm looking at the pictures, and it looks a lot like the Screaming Monkey, because we had some high winds come through recently. And so there's a lot of pictures of where they just cut the trees on either side of the trail, and you could still see the deadfalls on either side. You just run right to the middle. And, you know, people don't realize, who don't live in Louisiana, how catastrophic Laura was. It devastated that park. It devastated a lot of the Kasachee National Forest, which still hasn't been recovered. It was probably even worse than Katrina as far as just damage that it did to the state of Louisiana, especially on their public lands. So kudos to you guys for getting a race going out there again. And I appreciate that. I just wanted people to know that when they go to look for the site, it's No Man's Land Trail Run. And because there's a couple other options.
Yeah, super.
Hey, what do you guys see? Like, I'm a one-man operation, but you're a crew of four working on putting this race together and maybe doing some stuff. What do you see as your strengths or your roles in Lafitte and producing this race?
Individually,
yeah. What do you think Chris can do? Not much, or a lot. What's he good at?
Actually, that's why Chris is in charge. He's the best organized. He's the engineer, so we needed an organized guy.
Somebody who actually. My son.
If I was in charge, there'd be like paperwork, and I'd be like, "What paperwork?"
I know. They're just they've got that. This is my son is like this. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very
so
spreadsheet.
That's right. Yeah. Everything is run on spreadsheets.
But I don't even know where we keep the spreadsheet. So that's where Chris is there.
It's a Google Docs, Nick. I gave you access. So we really do have a great team. And like I said, it kind of happened organically. I wasn't intending for this to happen, but I'm glad it did. Is that, like Nick said, I feel like I'm probably the organizational lead for making sure, hey, we have all our ducks in a row. But, you know, we have Nick, who said he's a PT earlier, and he gets a lot of the medical things ready for us. So I feel, you know, he comes from it from that perspective. Hey, we need to make sure we have, you know, medical staff on site, and this is what they may need and all that. And then y'all know Tanya, which she's a registered dietitian. So she kind of is looking at stuff at that for us. And then also Tanya has a really good relationship with Tracy, the park manager. So that's a huge plus for us on our team, is that she's kind of that liaison between us and the state park. And then Andy Jones, I don't know if y'all know her, but Andy is, I guess she's a newer ultra runner too, maybe like myself. In the past couple of years, she's gotten into it. Andy works at Athlete's Corner in Lake Charles, which is a shoe store, but they do all kinds of different sports equipment. But she's great for us because she can, you know, she has contacts with all the shoe reps, and she can, they have their own in-house t-shirt designer and artist for if we need medals and stuff like that. So it's kind of, it's weird how all the little aspects, you know, we have somebody for everything. It's really perfect.
No, absolutely. You need that. You definitely, it's hard being a one man show. You've got to have help. You've got to have people helping you. Really do. So guys, we've enjoyed it. We really have. Thank y'all for coming on and talking to us. And,
is there anything we didn't touch on that you guys wanted to emphasize for the listeners of the number one trail podcast in the state of Louisiana?
Yeah, we are number one.
The only thing I have is a bit of bad news, particularly for y'all, Michael and Brad, is that Sam Houston doesn't have any pit toilets.
Oh, damn it. I'm not coming. You were going to help. Do you have a shovel?
I'm pretty sure that's a
BYO shovel.
Can I make my own pit toilet?
I was really happy with the bathroom heaters this weekend, though.
The bathrooms are really nice.
A little spoiled. It's a real bathroom with air conditioning and heating.
I'll just give me a shovel, and I'll go adjacent to the bathroom. Because you got to have a good pit toilet.
There's a bike rack where Lambdo has stuff set up. You're more than welcome to that area. I don't
use it. Oh, really? Okay. I can use the biker's bike rack. I still love that. Yeah.
Well, sure. I might look y'all up this spring.
One of the goals of the race is to definitely promote the park.
Okay.
I think we're spoiled in Lake Charles. We're so spoiled by this park because it's a beautiful park, a really nicely set up park. And unlike a lot of other places in Louisiana, it's like 15, 20 minutes from where we are. Like it's legitimately in our backyard. Whereas other like Lafayette people, they have to drive like 45 minutes to an hour to get to like Chico and stuff like that. We're like right here. And that's what I like about this race is showing everybody, showing off our park, how much we really love this. It's our home trail. Mm-hmm. And I love how this race is going to show off how this trail is and why we love it so much.
It's, you know, it was a beautiful park and I'm sure it's even better. It really is. It's even better. So since Michael's not a native Louisianian, Michael, who was Sam Houston Jones?
Sam Houston Jones?
Yeah. Who was Sam Jones, Michael?
I thought it was just the guy who founded the city of Houston. I don't know.
No.
No.
Sam Houston.
Oh, no, that was Sam Houston.
That was Sam mm-hmm. Houston. Sam Jones was a former governor of the state of Louisiana. His claim to fame is he defeated Earl Long, right, in gubernatorial. He ended the Long dynasty politically, Michael. Just letting you know that. Right, guys?
Yeah.
I knew
he was the governor, and I knew he put a lot of he was one of the guys who signed in like three or four parks. Sam Houston Jones Park as well as Boca Chica, I think, also owns their existence to him. I didn't know about the Huey Long thing though.
He ended the Long dynasty when he was elected governor.
Well, I hope you guys can do for that park what Cesar has managed to do for Boca Chica.
Oh, yeah.
I think that trail runs and parks should have a close relationship, and I'm glad that you guys are keeping that up. And I'm sorry I tried to give y'all's race away to Casey Urschel on a previous episode of Louisiana Trail Report.
I didn't do that. He did.
But, you know, I didn't. I just wanted there to be a race there because I'm selfish and I want to come run it. And I didn't know there was something already behind the scenes in the works.
Yes. So don't forget, fellas, get the contraband folks to show up in their pirate outfits. We've got to have real swords, right? Just and, you know, have them bludgeon like something.
Brad likes the idea of whatever race having somebody dressed up to chase people. So I'm surprised he has suggested pirates chasing people.
We'll just have to put Nick in the pirate outfit.
Nick, there you go.
I mean, you give me enough. There's a good rum distillery in Lacassine. You give me enough of their rum, I will dress up as a pirate, chase people.
Beat the pirate. You know, have the like I've always wanted to do a race called Beat the Bunny 5K, right? Have a guy dressed up in a bunny costume and he runs the race, right? And if you beat the bunny, you get a t-shirt that says I beat the bunny, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't beat the bunny, you get a t-shirt that says I got beat by the bunny.
Yeah.
So you could do the
pirate. To be honest, as many Mardi Gras crews as there are in Lake Charles, I bet you we could put something together. Not for this race, but future race idea, if this goes well, future race idea would be a bunch of drunken pirates and you got to outrun them.
There you go. There you go. I won't charge you for that. Look, Chris is looking at me like, that dude's crazy.
We got to get Brad on our team. He's full of free ideas.
I'm not.
That's
well,
what I'm saying. I we got to get another one of these just to hash out some race ideas.
Mm-hmm. I'll sell them to you for a po' boy.
But I'm not a spreadsheet guy. I'm not a spreadsheet guy. So I can't do that. So, all right, great. Hey, guys, thanks again so much for joining us. And we really appreciate it. Really do. You guys have a wonderful rest of the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank y'all. All right. Bye.
Have a great one.
Y'all too.
Okay, Michael, that's the boys down there in Lake Charles.
Hey, I think those guys are going to do great things with that run. I'm excited to go down there. And it's just a couple weeks before the Screaming Monkey.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a good opportunity. Hey, if you're doing the 50K or the 50-miler at Screaming Monkey first weekend in November, go down do that race do the 25K down there. Or if you're doing my 50-miler, go do their 50K.
Absolutely.
It'd be a great warm-up for what you're going to get when you come up here. And from the description of the race, they got a lot of roots. Guess what? We got a lot of roots at the Screaming Monkey 100.
Absolutely. And we got roots of Wild Azalea.
Yeah. So, yes. So if you want some roots, you could go do that. You go do this. Okay. I think that's a great plan.
We'll do it. Michael, before we sign off, anything we're going to talk about on the next episode?
Well, Brad, before we sign off, I want to talk about when people contact you after a race is over and claim that they would like you to mail them their shirt that they didn't get from the race. So that's happened to you recently.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
I tell them to get a life because it's just a stinking T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to hold you a T-shirt just specifically for you if you sign up the race for the race and you don't come to the race.
Yeah, why should I have to eat the $10 shipping and handling to send you a $8 shirt?
I don't even want you
that
come
you
to the
didn't
store.
Bother to show up to get on your own.
No, Michael,
I'm not doing it.
We ordered 170 shirts for Wild Azalea. I stopped collecting T-shirt sizes at 160. The entries kept pouring in. And so we went back to the T-shirt folks and said, you got to make some more. Yep. And they said, well, all we've got left are 28. Mm-hmm. I said, make us 28 more T-shirts. Can you have them by Friday packet pickup? And they really pulled a miracle off. So we had 198 T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We had 212 people actually sign up.
That's
for the race.
Great, Brad. You guys did great this year. People were recognizing what a great Louisiana race that is.
So I feel like we went above and beyond to accommodate those folks who shouldn't have gotten a T-shirt because they signed up late.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a shirt for them, and they were happy about it. And some Joe Blow is going to tell me, hey, man, I signed up, but I didn't go to the race. Can you mail me my T-shirt? It ain't going to happen, dude.
No.
It's not going
to
happen.
And you know what? I don't think that's rude. I have gone to the trouble and personal expense of mailing people things that they've left at the race. That I left my gloves. I left my trekking poles. I left my hat. Okay, I'll mail that to you.
Right.
I'm not, you know,
right.
Do I have to do that? No. I do that out of the kindness of my heart. But I'm not going to mail you a shirt when you didn't come to the race.
I'm not doing
it. And a lot of people from Facebook were, you know, this was posted on Facebook.
I did it this morning, actually.
And
yeah.
A lot of people were coming to your support in that, like, I don't want to wear a shirt for a race I didn't do.
I don't either.
I don't.
If I sign up for Screamin' Monkey, mm-hmm. and I'm going to tell you this. If I sign up for Screamin' Monkey, say, the 50-miler mm-hmm. next year, and I don't complete it, I don't want the T-shirt because I didn't meet my goal.
There's two things I don't do. I don't wear the race shirt on race day. And if you do, respect
that's
you.
Fine.
I
that's
don't.
Fine. That's fine.
I don't.
Yeah.
And no judgment. You can if you want to. It's not
judging.
For me.
Not judging.
I don't do that. And then I also don't wear a race shirt from a race I didn't race. I don't do it.
Oh, that's just pitiful.
But to my wife's chagrin, I do wear race shirts like as to formal functions and things. So
that's chagrin.
She tells me like, "Hey, we're going out to dinner with my family. Do not wear a race shirt."
Well, I can see. I guess I see her point. I would probably do the same thing.
It's sad that she has to tell me that. Yeah.
But my wife would tell me the same thing. Yeah. I dress up, Michael. But yeah, dude, I'm not doing it.
This is my finest Wild Azalea race shirt.
You know, if you leave your drop bag, mm-hmm. if you leave us in, you know, that's really on you. We're going out of our way to get that to you.
If you leave, so I've had that issue myself. Somebody left the drop bag, and I mailed them back like a nice expensive pair of socks was in there and a nice like set of Mizuno gloves. But all the food, I kept.
Yeah.
You know, if it was prepackaged food, sorry, I'm not mailing you back your Clif Bars. You can replace that.
Absolutely.
You might not be able to replace those Mizuno gloves that you've had for 15 years that they don't make anymore.
Absolutely.
That you love.
Yeah.
I'll send you that back and, you know, your hat.
I checked Facebook right before we got here. I do appreciate somebody's comments, and I'm going to give them the thumbs up. And they said, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah.
Sorry. You snooze, you lose. You slept in. You didn't make it.
And we talked about this, too. If one of our friends, people who have done our races and we're personal friends with, has signed up for the race and ahead of time says, hey, I can't make it. Will you pull my shirt? I'll do it. But and I'm not saying if I don't know you, I don't care about you. That's not the case.
Right.
But usually people you don't know aren't going to approach you or aren't going to send you a thing and say, hey, pull my shirt for me. I can't make it.
You know, true. Because to that point, folks that you know that come and support your races day in and day out, who show up.
Yeah.
And let's say that they reached past.
Some of those people, I'd help them bury bodies.
Absolutely.
Quite frankly, yeah.
And they accidentally, they signed up past the t-shirt deadline. If I've got an extra t-shirt, I'm going to save it for them. Because they support you and your races. Yep. So they deserve it. For some Joe, anyway, I'll shut
up. Joe Blow?
Yeah, I'll shut up. I don't, you snooze, you lose. I can't, there it is.
Yep.
I'm going to even reply to this individual and say, I couldn't have said this any better. You snooze, and I don't want to hear about race, conditions, or you know, things like in the small print. I don't have small print. It's old school. Yeah. You don't show up. You don't get a freaking shirt. Tough it.
And another thing I want to talk about before we close this episode, Louisiana Trail Report, episode one of season two.
Yeah.
Brad, like, we don't have a Patreon link. And the reason we don't have a Patreon link is because we fund this podcast ourselves.
What's a Patreon link?
Okay, so a lot of the podcasts I listen to have a Patreon link.
What the heck is that?
And you can, that's where you can pay. You can send them money for the podcast to help promote the podcast.
Really?
It's basically paying them. Or a lot of podcasts now have bonus content only available for the Patreon members.
That, okay, yeah. I know
we don't
saying.
Do that.
I didn't know
you get everything
I didn't
for
know that
free.
Was for free. And, I didn't know that was a term.
Why do we do that? Well, we promote my races.
Sure.
But we promote all Louisiana races.
Absolutely.
We promote Run Wild.
Absolutely.
You know, we do that. Yes, and that's part of what this is about. But this is about also Louisiana trails and Louisiana trail runners. And Louisiana races. So it's just not about us. So, no, we don't have a Patreon link.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you to send us money for this. If you know somebody who wants to get word out about their business, and they're in, like, maybe they have some kind of, like, protein drink or something, hey, send us a thing. We would consider maybe advertising for you if you like it.
Now,
but
know,
no, you don't have to. We're not doing a Patreon link.
No.
You're getting all the content for free.
If a local car dealer wants to sponsor us and give you and I a brand new rig.
A truck would be preferred.
That'd be great.
Preferably be great. One with at least 7,500 pounds of pulling power.
There you, yes, we're gonna discuss this on the next episode. Mm-hmm. But listen, I'll finish with this. What we promote are our races and Louisiana races. So if you listen to us, please, please, please sign up for your races, my race, Cesar, Edie's, Fawn's,
Casey's,
and Lafitte's.
Anybody who's putting on Louisiana trail races.
Support these folks. That's all we care about. And if you're a car dealer out there, yeah, you know where to find us.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. So, hey, Brad, this has been a episode of Louisiana. No, a great episode.
No, the interview was great. Yeah, no, our little tidbits always suck.
I mean, two of the nicest guys
you'd
ever really want to
meet. I know. They're too nice, man. They're too nice. Way too nice. But anyway. Okay, folks, we will see you next week with another edition of the Louisiana Trail Podcast. This is Brad Collis saying adios.